Pastor Ray Bentley points out the significance of the Passover before Jesus' crucifixion.
This Passover night, everything against him was saying to Jesus, the devil was saying, stop. You want the kingdoms of the world? I'll give them to you. Just bow down and worship me. He was telling Jesus, quit and follow me. And that's what Judas Iscariot did. He quit. He let go of his faith, and he had a very bitter end.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. The Bible is full of fascinating insight. Some is obvious from the text, some is less obvious because it lies just below the surface. Today, Pastor Ray helps us dig a little deeper into the Jewish celebration of Passover. He'll explain how it paints a picture of the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. Here's Pastor Ray to begin.
Let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14. These last three chapters of Mark are really the heart of the gospel. We're going to look at the Last Supper that Jesus had with the disciples and talk about Jesus as our Passover. Now, you probably see here I've got some props here, and so I want to go through with you. Some of you have been through a Jewish Seder with the meaning, the richness, the background behind it. There are probably some of you that have not. And now we're not going to go through the whole Passover Seder is a meal that Jesus would have gone through. I'm going to give some of the highlights from the Gospels, and it gives greater understanding and illumination to what exactly was happening with the bread and the cup. As you'll see, there were actually four cups that are part of a Passover meal. And Jesus and his disciples drank all four of those cups, each one with a unique meaning and a very special application to our hearts. But there was one of the four different from all the others that was the cup that Jesus said, this cup is the cup of the new covenant, my blood shed for the remission of your sins. So tonight you're going to know which one of the four that is. Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 12. This is where we left off. It says, now on the first day of unleaavened bread. So we've come to Passover, and now we're going to find out more about it and how the Lord celebrated Passover with his disciples and the new meaning he gave to it. When they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover? And he sent out two of his disciples and said to them, go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, the teacher said, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large upper room. It will be furnished and prepared, Jesus said. And there, make ready for us. So his disciples went out, and they came into the city and found it just as Jesus had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. Now in the evening, he came with the 12. Now as they sat and ate, Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me. And they began to be sorrowful, and to say to him one by one, Lord, is it I? And another said, is it I? And he answered and he said to them, it is one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born. Wow, that's pretty sobering. Here this night where Jesus gathers with his disciples is one of the most important gatherings in history. Jesus, or his Hebrew name, Yeshua, celebrating the Passover Seder, as it is called, with his disciples, or otherwise known as the Last Supper. Now, As we see here, there is no doubt that this was a full Passover Seder. And by the way, the word Seder, if you're taking notes, it's a Hebrew word. It's spelled S-E-D-E-R. So when you hear the word Passover Seder, what does the word Seder mean? In Hebrew, it means order. That's simply what the word means. And so the Passover meal goes over 15 different steps. There are 15 different things that Jewish people all around the world, even to this day, several thousand years later, when they have a Passover meal, there are 15 steps they go through. And the order, or the Seder, is about the Passover. And what's interesting is, obviously, Jesus himself being Jewish, and this going all the way back to the time of Moses, this is something that had already had hundreds of years of celebration. It had become part of the fabric of the Jewish people and community. But this night will be different. Jesus is about to become our Passover lamb, and he's going to take Passover to an entirely new level and invariably reaching out and even beyond the tribes of Israel and embracing the entire Gentile world so that whosoever would call on the name of the Lord should be saved. Now, in order for there to be this meal, you had to have a kosher or a holy, pure lamb. It needs to be purchased, and then it needs to be prepared for the meal. And one of the things that would always happen, at least 2,000 years ago for a Passover meal, is that as everyone came in the evening from wherever they had been during the day, walking in the streets, generally with bare feet, if not even a pair of sandals, but you know, their feet were dirty. And now they're getting ready to eat. So there needs to be the feet washed. This was not something that was unusual. Normally, every family that would gather in the evening would have a foot washing ceremony before the meal would take place. Here's what made this night different and this foot washing unusual. Generally, there would be a servant who would be part of the family. They had many servants in those days, and especially when you had different families coming together to celebrate a Passover meal. There would be one of the servants who would do the menial job of washing the feet. But it was at this time, before any servant who maybe Peter or John had already assigned this task, that before the servant could get up and perform the foot washing, Jesus, the master of ceremonies for this Last Supper, himself arose and began going around the table and washing personally himself all of the feet of the disciples. And by doing this, Jesus gave himself as a living model of the kingdom of heaven. The greatest, the king, was a servant of all. And I don't know about you, but I think that is amazing. Don't you like that? The one who has the most reason to be proud and to be running and ruling and reigning is the most humble and is the first to seek the position of being the servant of others. I think that that says a lot, not only about the kingdom of God, but it says a lot about the heart and the nature of the king. Now, we're not just supposed to, you know, get used to it and just lay back, okay, yeah, just serve me. We are to follow that model and that example that we would begin to serve and minister to one another. That's what makes heaven, heaven. Amen? Instead of 7 billion people, all consumers, saying, hey, what have you done for me lately? It's millions of people who have the heart of Jesus and want to serve others. Now, the other thing that I want to mention is how they would recline at table and as they would celebrate the meal. It was a low table. It wasn't like you and I probably sat down on high tables and we sit up on rather high chairs. There were no high tables like we use today. So I have to say sorry to Leonardo da Vinci. He has this very famous painting where he's got, you know, they're all sitting at this big table and they're sitting in these big chairs and leaning, and it's a very beautiful painting, but it is not accurate. They were not sitting in that way. It was a very low table, and it was so low, you say, how low was it? It was this low. They were literally laying down and leaning on their elbows and then reaching over in a very casual way and dipping into the food. You see, this was the position and posture of a free people. Slaves had to stand. and generally outside. They weren't invited inside, and they had to be at attention and ready at a moment's notice to go be told to do something. It was only those who were free, who had the luxury of lying down. Why? Because nobody's going to be coming up and telling me where to go and what I have to do. I am free. So this is how, now you remember that the Passover meal was the entire Jewish people remembering that we are now living in freedom. We are no longer slaves, where we had to stand at attention and be at the beck and call of our masters for over 400 years. But then this night, as so they're all reclining and they begin the Passover meal, how would it be if this Thanksgiving, you know, somebody at the table says, you know, one of you is going to betray me before this night is through? That, how many, that would have been a bummer for Thanksgiving, right? Well, that's exactly how this meal begins. Jesus says, as they're reclining on their elbows, just beginning to relax and beginning to enjoy the meal, one of you is going to betray me. Now, when Jesus said that, all the disciples are shocked. They cannot imagine, what is he talking about? They knew one another. They'd been together. They were friends. And not one of them could imagine betraying the Lord, except one. And there was one there named Judas who acted surprised, but who in fact, if you remember earlier in the Gospel of Mark, has already made and struck a deal with some of the leaders who wanted Jesus arrested. And while the others said that, they didn't know. And the other surprising thing is, and a little disturbing is, none of the other disciples went, "It's Judas." I mean, you know, it's obviously him. As if all the others are wearing white robes and Judas is the only guy wearing a black robe going, oh, that's the bad guy. No, he looked innocent. And all of them, they looked at Judas and they thought nothing of it. Now then, so they're wondering, they're talking. Is it me? Is it you? Who's he talking? Who? They were clueless. Jesus openly says, "The one who dips his bread into the sauce with me, that's the one." Now, where this was in the meal, I've learned from our Jewish brothers and sisters, is that during a Passover meal, there's a certain time where bread is dipped into bitter herbs. You remember that part? For those who have been in a Passover, they take their bread and they dip the bread in some bitter herbs and they take just a little bite and it's immediately, it's bitter. It's very bitter. And the purpose of that little bite of bitterness is to remember the 400 long, bitter, hard years of being slaves. It is believed that it was at that moment during the meal that they dipped the bread for a bitter bite, that Jesus shared the bitter bite of the herbs with Judas Iscariot. Thus, another symbol of the bitter deed. Jesus letting Judas know, "Do you realize how bitter your betrayal is to me?" And that Jesus knew who Judas was, and Judas knew it. It's going to be an interesting, tragic night for this one, Judas Iscariot. So anyway, Jesus dips his bread into it. Judas does the same. And before the night is through, Judas gets up and leaves the evening and walks away.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment.
We love hearing when Maranatha Radio and Pastor Ray's teachings are impacting lives.
Pastor Ray, I love your daily devotionals, especially your devotion on sharing our faith with others. I've been wanting to witness more about Jesus to my neighbors and friends, but I always get a little pushy. But your message was all about compassion, love, and gentleness. Thanks for a good lesson on how to reach others for Christ without driving them away. God bless you.
And we're so glad that Pastor Ray's teachings are helping. Would you take just 60 seconds and write Pastor Ray an email and let him know how these studies in God's Word have encouraged you? You can send that email to ray@raybentley.com. That's ray@raybentley.com.
And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
There are two messages that I want to share with you tonight. One is if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ and you're either here tonight in this place or you are listening to it, I have a message for you directly from God. God loves you. That is the message that your Creator, your Father in heaven wants you to know. If you are not yet believing and trusting in Jesus, know this, God loves you. He has always loved you. And there may be have been bitter experiences that have made it obstacles and difficult for you to believe and trust that God loves you. But believe me and trust me, the Lord, even on this very night, is doing anything and everything possible to go through those obstacles, over them or under them, and communicate to you virtually by the next day by going to the cross in your place and mine and bearing the bitterness of our sins and our shame and our guilt in order for to prove to you that He does love you. That by the end of this 24-hour period, there will be no doubt that not only does God love the world, but that God loves you. And that the Bible basically has the message that if only you were the one that could be saved, God still would have sent His Son Jesus for you personally and died on the cross and taken your bitterness and given you eternal life. So the message for unbelievers is very simple. God loves you. The message for believers is this. Listen very carefully, because this is where Judas failed the test. The message to believers from the Lord is don't quit. For 3 years, Judas was one of the guys. For 3 years, Judas had his daily devotions. For 3 years, Judas believed. For 3 years, Judas followed Jesus. For 3 years, he was sent by Jesus with others, preached about the kingdom, probably prayed for people, miracles happened, people became believers through the ministry and the life of Judas. But there came a moment in time when at this very moment, Jesus was not using His obvious supernatural powers to bring the kingdom in the way that Judas saw, that Judas threw the towel in and he said, I quit. I'm not following you anymore. And I'm going to get out of it what I can. This whole path and plan of yours is a waste. And I think that Judas felt like he had wasted 3 years of his life. And he said he felt bad that he had wasted, he'd thrown away everything and he had followed Jesus. And here Jesus was not using His power. Judas knew that he had power. He knew that he was something prophetic and powerful, but he didn't like the way Jesus was using His power. He didn't like the way His kingdom was coming. And therefore he quit. And he got what he could out of it. He sold Jesus. And what did he get? How many pieces of silver? 30. Which is the price in the Old Testament for a slave. He treated Jesus no better than a slave, the freedom for a slave. He quit. May I say to you that this night, this Passover night, when Jesus, everything against Him was saying to Jesus, the devil was saying, stop. He started in the wilderness. You don't have to go to the cross. In the future, we know what the prophets say and all that. Look, you're doing all this for the kingdoms? I'll give all the kingdoms of the world to you now. You don't have to suffer and be beaten and humiliated and betrayed. You want the kingdoms of the world? I'll give them to you. Just bow down and worship me. He was telling Jesus, quit and follow me. And that's what Judas Iscariot did. He quit. He let go of his faith. And he had a very bitter end. So now that has made its play. Now verse 22, let's look at this. It says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. It is called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So the Passover, it always has, the entire meal, it does include bread, but it's only unleavened bread, or unleavened bread in Hebrew is called matzah. Everybody say matzah. Okay. So Matthew's account implies that Jesus took a particular piece of bread, or matzah, from the table. And even in modern times, when Jewish families have a celebration of the Passover, there is a point during the meal when all of the focus comes upon a particular piece of bread or matzah. Here it is. See this? It's kind of a pillow and it's got some nice writing on it. And here it's got these candles. And inside, there's three compartments. There's a compartment at the bottom. Then there's a little kind of a slip there, and there's another compartment, and then at the top there's another compartment, and in each one of the three compartments is some matzah, or bread. This is the bread that was used for Passover. You see, you notice anything about it? Kind of flat? It's not like a loaf of bread, right? So Passover is special bread, matzah bread, and leavened bread. And here's something you may notice about this bread. It is always baked with stripes. And also, you should notice it has holes or it is pierced. So this bread, the unleavened bread, now leaven in the Bible is a type of sin. So bread without leaven is a type of sinlessness. Isn't this a great picture of the body of Jesus Christ? So here's what's amazing. We have these three loaves of bread. And in this, obviously, especially our Jewish brothers and sisters, they start seeing all of these things. And they go, wow, God, who is one, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And yet the word for God in Hebrew is plural. He's a plurality, yet he's still one. Here we have three loaves of bread in one pillow case kind of a deal. And it's interesting that during the meal, they take the middle matzah. So I'm going to take out the middle. There's two more. There's one at the top and there's one at the bottom. They take out the middle matzah. So there's one, then there's two, and then there's three. They take out number two. And what they do is they take the bread and they break it basically in half. And they take half of the broken bread and they put it back into the middle compartment. Then they take the other piece and they fold it up, or you might say they bury it, and then they hide it. Okay, so you take this middle piece, you break it in half. The other half is called the afikoman. As I mentioned, and I put here into your notes, it's wrapped in linen, and then it is hidden. Now, what they usually do, then they go on with the meal for a while. And then at a certain point later in the meal, they tell the children. So, you know, maybe the father has hidden the afikoman. And then later in the meal, the children all know this is their special role to play. Okay, kids, and get all the kids down to the front of the table. You go throughout the house. The afikoman has been hidden. And whoever finds the hidden afikoman will get a special reward from Papa. And usually the reward is something from the wallet of Papa. It's going to be some money. So there is a mad, frantic, powerful search. And finally, one of the children finds it. And it is this bread, the afikoman, the middle piece that was broken in half, that was buried and hidden, and then was later found and was discovered. That is the bread that is now taken by Jesus and broken, and everybody at the Passover meal takes a bite of the bread of the second piece of matzah that was broken with stripes and pierced and buried and hidden and discovered. Who does that sound like? Is that an amazing, awesome picture of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Pastor Ray Bentley, with the amazing parallels between the Jewish commemoration of Passover and the story of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And there's more to come here on Maranatha Radio. Today's study is titled, Jesus, Our Passover. If you missed any part, you can hear a replay on iTunes or at raybentley.com. That's raybentley.com. When you first arrive at our homepage, when you click Media, you'll see the words Watch, Radio, and Devo. Three ways to enjoy Pastor Ray's insights via video, audio recording, or daily devotions. In fact, at the very bottom of the page, you can link to Pastor Ray's Facebook page, his podcast, his YouTube channel, and Twitter feed. And you'll find Pastor Ray's latest books there, too. His new books, On the Mountain of the Lord, and his latest, The Threshing Floor, a prophetic fiction novel. And raybentley.com is always where you'll find the best deals on Pastor Ray's resources. You can also donate securely right there on our site. Your investments help bring the whole gospel to the whole world. Our mailing address is Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Mark. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.